yeah. Coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast. And as you can tell by that intro, Hip Hop Chicken is only reserved for our special guest. And today on our show, we have a very special guest. So we're going to announce it here in a minute. But...
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jen.
Thanks for introducing me. I'm on the show, too, you know.
But here's Jen.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
What's up?
So, Joe, we had a very interesting week.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really fun when people who have been on our show asked us to be on their show.
Mm-hmm.
So tell everybody a little bit about what happened this week.
Yeah, we had a great week. Got to actually be on the radio show High Strangeness Factor with Steve Ward and Andy
Mercer.
Yeah.
From the UK.
UK Radio Network.
That's amazing, Joe. We're global. We are officially global.
Yeah.
Well, we've been global for 5 years.
Yeah. But we're actually on somebody else's show, and it was a blast.
Oh, my gosh. It was so much fun. What a bunch of intelligent studs they are. But yeah, no, Steve, you know, has been on the show a couple of times. He presented at our Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference last year, and very, very knowledgeable. He's a Mothman expert. He's a, you know, the Wizard of Weird. I like to call him funny names like the Sultan of Strange and the Wizard of Weird.
I always say he's a Wardo.
The Wardo. But yeah, so, you know, he's great. Andy was amazing. He is such a you know, wealth of knowledge. He's investigated paranormal for over 30 years and has just, you know, written several books and was just so interesting. I could have listened to him for like 10 hours.
Oh, yeah.
He was so cool.
After we got done recording, we, you know, stopped the recording, but we still talked to those guys for
it was like a whole nother show, right?
But like I said, we should have just kept the recorder going.
Right. What else is going on, Joe?
I want to say hey to our cuz down south.
Hey, Rodney.
Rodney Shortridge has the show within the KS. Oh, and by the way, I believe that High Strangest Factor is coming out on Tuesday with our interview. So we'll post it up on Facebook. But I want to say hey to Rodney Shortridge down there in Virginia.
Our cousin from the other line of the lineage.
Yeah.
No, he's great.
He has the show Within the Chaos playing every Thursday night. And this week he has Daniel Benyalt, I believe his name is. He is the founder and researcher of East Coast Bigfoot Research Organization, and I'm sure it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't heard it yet because it isn't out yet, but yeah. Everybody tune into Within the Chaos with Cousin Rodney, and if you can, send him a message. Say you heard him on the show here. But anyhow, we played Hip Hop Chicken for a very special guest, and I think you
might know her.
I think that this show would not be on the air without her.
Well, probably not.
No.
Because she gave birth to us. Ladies and gentlemen, Ma Shortridge. Hi.
Hi.
So we have her mom, Mary Lou, is on the show. Mary Lou Best Shortridge.
Yeah.
And welcome to the show, Lulu.
Thank you.
It's funny because, like, we always like, we got to get mom on the show. She's got a million stories. She's got a lot of things we can talk about. A lot of miracles have happened in front of her. So we just thought we'd just have, like, a really cool round table. Actually, at a round table right now in the kitchen.
Yes,
we're
mom's living room.
Ma's kitchen.
Ma's kitchen. The living room. Well, whatever.
We live in here.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Have you had a few drinks?
No, I've only had one. Mom and I made homemade sangria.
And was very good. It was very
delicious.
Fruity.
Yes. We have a special recipe. We put dried cherries, oranges, limes, lemons, a little bit of Diet Mountain Dew, and some sweet wine in there. And it was delicious.
Very good.
Did you like it? So we... I've always have like really interesting conversations about different things that have gone on over the years. You know, we've always heard stories. Mom, tell everybody where you used to work.
Churchill's Religious Goods and Gifts. We sold many items, mostly books, crucifixes, rosaries, mostly Catholic articles, although we did cater to other denominations.
Yeah, and working in there, you had so many different people come in and so many lives that you touched, and people would come in and always just want to share their stories
always,
and you know, their religious stories. And, you know, as you grew up Catholic, you started off at which church?
St. Agnes.
St. Agnes. Uh-huh. So you were baptized there?
No. Actually, I think, wait a minute, let me think. I don't think I was baptized there.
Would have been Little Flower?
No. No, Dad was baptized at Little Flower.
Okay.
No, I wasn't baptized there. We lived, well, maybe I was. We lived on Homewood. Okay, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. St. Agnes.
Yeah, and you and Dad got married there in 1956. Mm-hmm. Just babies, right?
Well, you're not really. I was 24, and he was 25. And we were engaged for 2 years. Mm-hmm. When he came home from Korea, we started dating again and got engaged, and the rest is history.
That's right, and that's why Joe and I are here.
Yep. God blessed us with, well, eight pregnancies, two children in heaven, miscarriages, mm-hmm. and six living now.
Six.
Three boys and three girls.
Yeah, we have
the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Joe and I are the youngest, like Joe and then me. So grew up always having a great devotion to your faith. And as you had us brats and
children, not brats.
You discovered the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church. So that would have been what, in the late or early 80s, late 70s, early 80s uh-huh. that started? Now, did that start through St. Clement's?
No, it started in I can't think of the name of it, Iowa, actually, and mm-hmm. started in a Protestant denomination, and some Catholic people went there, and then they brought it back to the church, and mm-hmm. What it is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like when you make your confirmation, you receive the Holy Spirit, and it's like a gift, and you might not open it up till years later, or mm-hmm. you might then a whole new life opens up for you because it's gifts that we didn't really appreciate or know that we had, gifts of healing and mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And so anyway, through that all, through going to healing masses and prayer meetings, I've learned a lot about Catholic faith and mm-hmm. how important it is and what things that we didn't really use in our everyday masses and that, and mm-hmm. it was what we used to call people holy rollers because right. they were raising their hands and mm-hmm. clapping and praising loudly. Well, mm-hmm. we don't do that in church. It's very reverent mm-hmm. and quiet, but it all gives glory to God. So mm-hmm. it just was a whole wonderful thing, and it opened up our eyes to miracles, to healings. Mm-hmm. I have a whole book full of miracles that I actually saw. My friend, the people I worked for, they went to Medjugorje. It's in Yugoslavia. And I have a picture of a rose that was growing in the middle of, it grew and it was in the middle of winter and it was still on the vine. And this is where Mary had been appearing. She appeared there for years. And in the middle of the rose is her face.
Oh,
it's interesting. And we'll post these pictures up on Facebook when mm-hmm. the show comes out. But
Mom always had this book of the photos that, and this is what kind of spurred us on to talking about what we are today, is she always shows us the photos of these. But you mentioned how, so are you saying that anybody can heal?
If you ask for the gift of healing, everybody, who is a believer, believes in God, mm-hmm. is a minister, can minister the gifts. We have the gifts of healing, and you can ask for that, or like the gift of tongues, you can ask for that. A lot of people get it. Some people don't want it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary. First time I went to a healing mass, I did not go up to get prayed over because people were resting in the spirit, and I never saw that before in my life, and I was scared.
And so people would go up to the altar get prayed over, and then they would basically faint, and you call it resting in the spirit.
They call it resting in the spirit.
But people would be so overwhelmed or overcome with either joy or happiness or healing that they would just faint. And now, didn't you at one time go up and somebody fainted and you caught them?
My friend and I were catchers. There was a heavy...
Catchers,
they called them catchers. People would stand behind you and catch you, so, you know, and let you just rest, put you on the floor, and you lay there till, Well, sometimes people, it depends how long, I don't know, mm-hmm. it's up to the spirit, you know. And yeah. And so was anything we did, it was that you get touched by the Holy Spirit and he rests you. And so we lay on the floor there and I said, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going up there and make a fool of myself. Well, once I tried it, it was the most peaceful experience I ever had in my life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so people, my neighbor and I, Madonna, she and I went to a prayer meeting out at St. John's in Point Place. And when we walked in there, these people were singing, praying in tongues. And we looked at each other like, what are we doing here? We didn't. And it was at a Catholic.
Kind of just very unknown to you, right? Like
very
this
unknown.
Didn't happen in the Catholic
no,
Church. And,
no.
And, you know, I want to say it was radical for the time, but, you know, it was very shocking for mm-hmm. some of the very devout Catholics who very regimented in the mm-hmm. in the Mass to see all these people hooping and hollering and
yes,
just
and
getting
were,
excited about the Spirit.
There were a lot of people who weren't open to it. There were some priests that weren't open to it. Mm-hmm. And she and I end up working a life in the Spirit after we had been blessed and anointed. And we had some Notre Dame nuns came over, mm-hmm. and they were all prayed over and got the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they went back to the convent or where they lived, the provincial house, and the other nuns made fun of them and thought they were crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was interesting. But anyway, so many things have happened since then. And the Blessed Mother started appearing in Medjugorje, and I have a picture of one of the visionaries, and there's a light that goes right through her book that she's holding in her hand.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, and we'll post all these pictures on our Facebook page. Yeah. I'll copy them. And
mm-hmm. And then here's a picture of a priest, Father Kerber was his name. He was in the healing ministry because he was a young man. His family owned a brewery in Toledo, and they were very wealthy and at that time, and he thought he had always wanted to be a priest, so he joined the priesthood, and he was going on vacation. He thought he was so cool, and he had a motorcycle, and he was going down 75 and hit a bridge abutment and broke every bone in his body.
Oh, my gosh.
And when he laid in a hospital, he said, God, if you heal me, I will do something very special for you. And so at St. Charles Hospital in a little chapel, he started having healing masses.
Mm.
And my prayer partner and I, we went over there every Tuesday. And there again, people would come up and get prayed over, and some of them would rest in spirit, some wouldn't. But anyway, we did that for quite a while. And there again, you know, we'd take it back to our parish, and people were not open to it. They thought we were holy rollers. But Father Kerber was very inspirational in our healings. Mm-hmm. And I took my sister-in-law there one time. Not my sister-in-law. Well, yeah, I took my sister-in-law, but I took my son's wife, Tina. She had lupus, and her kidneys had shut down. And I said, why don't you come to a healing mass with me? And she was, her mom went to the Baptist church, mm-hmm. but she didn't go. She was married there, but she didn't go there. Anyway, she said, do you believe that stuff? I said, yeah, I do. I've seen miracles. She said, okay. And her kidneys started working again.
Wow.
But she did eventually die from the lupus. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and then my friend Madonna went, her daughter had cancer, her daughter Karen, and she went to Scottsdale, Arizona, and there was a priest there, Father Jack Spalding, and he had the gift of healing. And when he would be up on the altar, and his voice would actually change, it was like Jesus was talking. And so he prayed over Karen, and she had total healing of her cancer. And there was a glass crucifix hanging in the church, and Madonna took a picture of it. And when she got it developed, it was Christ crucified. It showed every,
wound
and scars where mm-hmm. he was beaten and nailed to a cross. It's just kind of gory to look at, but that's a miracle right there.
Yeah. The picture is, it's a picture of the crucifix that looks very lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin is just bloodied all over. It's so interesting because you said that was glass, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you, was that a clear one or?
I don't know. It was like etchings of Christ.
Yeah, on the cross. I mean the crucifix that with Jesus on it. You said it was glass, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And this would.
And after she took the picture, after she got it developed, the picture looks like a human
corpse
on the with scars and blood everywhere, even on his clothing that is wrapped around his waist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's amazing. And then to carry on a story about Madonna, years later, God had prepared her for what would happen in her life. She had 10 children, and they moved here from Illinois. And
next door to mom and dad.
Next door. And I have been
in the 70s.
In the 70s. And I've been praying for. We had very troublesome neighbors on either side of us. And I prayed. I said, God, please, could you just move them out and move somebody in that's not so nasty and ornery? Mm-hmm. And Madonna, she didn't come right away because she had her 10th child and her stitches broke open. She had stayed behind while he brought the family here and rented this house next door. Anyway. She, in later years, found out that her husband had another family in Pennsylvania.
A whole other family?
A wife and family, yes. And
he was a traveling salesman.
He was a traveling salesman. And
that's crazy.
It is. And
it's sad, but it's like.
It was unbelievable.
And back in those days, there's no internet, you know, cellular phone. So it was very possible to live a double life.
Well, yeah.
I'm a traveling salesman. I'll be here on the road.
Yes,
I'll be there on the road.
She didn't drive, and he'd come home on weekends. They'd go to the store, and later years, while they were living there, he did come to church with her a few times. Mm-hmm. But in the end, this happened to her, and she was devastated. And so she divorced him and went on with her life. She had to move. But anyway, she was just a beautiful lady and for this to happen. And everybody has stuff in their life that they're dealing with. But anyway, then Father McDonough, the healing priest from Boston, came into town. And a lot of people, he came to our church, St. Clement's, and a lot of people came. My niece came. Mm-hmm. Michelle and Joe came. And Joe was really sick. He
had lupus as well.
I think he had lupus, And when Father McDonough sprinkled holy water, the whole pew went down in the spirit.
Everybody's out.
Yeah, and they were just shocked. And anyway, he healed a lot of people. He was at the cathedral, our cathedral. Then he came back and he was at the cathedral. And we took a friend, and she said, I don't believe in that crap. And I said, well, just come, because she had a lot of, she wore a baggie for years. She was a total alcoholic. She drank a pint of vodka every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, her husband owned a bar, and so in order to put up with his orneriness, she'd drink. And anyway, she wore a colostomy. Uh-huh. And we said, well, just come to the healing mass and get prayed over. And she said, I don't believe in that crap. So we said, okay. So she came, and we're at the cathedral, and they have terrazzo floor, I guess you call mm-hmm. it. And he sprinkled holy water. She went down went down the spirit, we call it. And her head bounced off that floor. And she got up, and she said, I believe. I believe. It was funny, but God bless her. Anyway, she just passed recently, but she was able to deal with all her problems. She lost like 3 children within 2 years. And so God got her through that. Anyway, there's so many other stories. Here's a story of a man who, he was a reporter, and he didn't believe in Medjugorje, and he went there to check it out and had such a conversion experience that he came back and wrote a book called Medjugorje and joined the Catholic Church.
So tell our listeners what Medjugorje is.
Okay, it's a little town, unknown. Medjugorje was in Yugoslavia, and they had in 1930 they built a giant concrete cross up on, it's called Mount Krisavec. Was way up this mountain, and people would go there and climb that mountain and touch that crucifix and mm-hmm. had so many healings. Wow. And the war broke out in Yugoslavia. They had a war over there. Mary even predicted that. And Mary predicted a lot of things that have come true. She predicted that Satan would get in your face and look at the stuff we're coming through the television now. Mm-hmm. So many things that people are seeing that are not good. And so anyway, Wayne wrote this book. And when I worked at Churchill's, he came there and did a book signing, and I have a picture with him. And there's just so many. We went to an apparition in Elyria, Ohio, mm-hmm. and there's a picture of Lady Guadalupe, she's the patron saint of unborn babies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And on this picture is a big picture. My friend and I would touched it, and she felt a heartbeat. And when I touched it, it was so warm. And right by her knee, you can almost see the outline of an unborn baby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and here's
Did you touch the statue? Is that what?
The painting.
The painting,
picture,
okay.
The picture.
So yeah. It's a painting, not a statue.
No, it's okay. A painting, yeah. And that's in Elyria, Ohio. And then we went to a mountain down in Falmouth, Kentucky. And Mary would appear to visionaries down there. We never saw her, but I have pictures on the mountain, and it's like a presence. I'm trying to find it here, where the Blessed Mother, when she would appear,
mm-hmm.
it'd be like rainbow colors. I can't find it right now, but anyway, you'll put that on.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get
yeah.
it, and you can put that online so they can see it. People can see it. There's the cross on Mount Crucifix, and people climbed that mountain. It was really hard. It's way, I don't know how many feet up. There's a visionary.
In that book that the reporter wrote, Medjugorje, did he document some of the miracles that happened there?
He probably did. Mm-hmm. I don't have the book. I wish I would have kept it.
Yeah.
I did read it when I worked at Churchill's. I was able to read books and
and take them back. Take,
yeah, if I didn't dog ear them or whatever they
call
it.
Right, right.
Yeah. But anyway, then in Italy at a church in Lanciano, I can't pronounce it. It's in Italy. Mm-hmm. They called it an ablution cup, and somebody put a host in there, the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, and it turned to flesh and blood. And I have a picture of that.
Now, what is the cup?
It's called an ablution cup.
Okay, and what's that for?
It's for if somebody drops a host, you're not supposed to consume it, or you don't have to consume it. You can put it in that cup, and it'll dissolve.
Okay, and that's the host. And if you're not Catholic, the host is what, during the Mass, they give out the body and blood of Christ.
And we believe it, and because he's commissioned it, and it's scriptural. But a lot of the Protestant denominations don't believe in that.
Yeah.
They think it's just a symbol.
The thing is, with our listeners, we do have a lot of listeners that are not Catholic. And that's why we need, that's why I'm explaining.
Good, know. Yeah, yeah.
But it's considered, like, at the Last Supper, Jesus said, this is...
Unless you eat my body and drink mm-hmm. my blood, you have no life in you.
Yeah.
And that was at the Last Supper.
And he said, this brought out the chalice, says, this is my blood, mm-hmm. drink from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought out the bread, mm-hmm. and he broke bread.
Broke bread.
And said, this is my this is my body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Given for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So during the Mass... They, I don't want to say copy that. What's the good word for that?
Emulated?
Representation of, it's a, but it's it actually, the priest is commissioned through, the apostles, had the gift of, and so they're commissioned to, it's called transubstantiation. That's the changing of the body, the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And we believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually, myself and my prayer partner and my sister-in-law went in the little chapel where they keep the monstrance. They call it a monstrance, where the host is. And there was an ablution cup, and somebody had put a host in there. And we actually saw it would turn to body and blood, and we saw that. We went to get the priest, and he was nowhere around, and we had to be at work at 9 o'clock. And so we had to leave, and we went back on our lunch hour, and it was gone.
Wow.
So you actually... physically saw mm-hmm. it turn to the body and blood of Christ.
Well, no, it had already turned.
Okay.
Yeah, and we saw that. And then here's a picture down in can't think of the name of it, down
Conyers?
Conyers, Georgia. How'd you remember
I,
that?
I probably just from seeing the photo so many times.
And a man was took a picture of his pregnant daughter-in-law, and Mary appeared in the picture. Wow. And then here's a picture somebody took from the bus, and when they got it developed, it's the face of Christ.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very clear. And it's interesting because, like, in the paranormal, you know, people are out ghost hunting, and there's spirit hunting. Mm-hmm. They take pictures, and they see things in their pictures, mm-hmm. you know, whereas just this is very similar to that, that they would have. Like one of the pictures mom has, it looks like an orb or a mist, almost an apparition.
Yeah.
You know, a full apparition right in the photograph, which is very interesting.
Yeah, this is at Falmouth, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Then there's he's a saint now, Padre Pio from Petrosolina, Italy. Anyway, he had the stigmata of Christ. His hands would bleed, and he would wear gloves to cover it. And he had great devotion to his guardian angel and to angels. And in his cell, they called it the room cells, you can see in the picture, faint pictures of angels in his room. Here it is right here. And I have a holy card with a relic of his right mm-hmm. here. And the holy card is just full of oil. I didn't put that on there. I could hardly open it one time. It's just full of holy oil.
Oh, okay.
That is so interesting.
Isn't that cool? And my son and his son and wife, they went to...
Or your son?
My son, Rick.
Oh, okay.
my oldest son.
Our brother.
Your brother went to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land, and he brought me back healing oil, holy oil, and I use that on myself every day, and whoever is open to being prayed over, mm-hmm. anointed with it, you're supposed to use it. It's biblical. They use mm-hmm. it back in Jesus' day for healing. So,
and it's interesting because, you know, as we go to our conventions and our different paranormal events, there's many people who have healing oils who perform Reiki, which is a form of energy healing, you know, trying to, whatever it is, you know, trying to, almost like, you know, laying the hands over people. They're trying to take whatever ailment is out in them, whether it's mental or physical. Mm-hmm. The use of crystals and gemstones as well. They say they have healing properties. Now, have you ever witnessed any statues that were crying or weeping oil?
My friend, neighbor next door, Madonna, did in Cicero, Illinois. Mm-hmm. The statue of the Blessed Mother was weeping oil, tears. I have some of those. Mm-hmm. I have a couple.
I remember long time ago.
Back in the day.
That you, wasn't there a traveling statue that you?
Traveling now, Madonna.
Did that?
Oh, I remember that.
Did that? Yeah. Have any oils or did it weep or anything?
No, okay. I never saw anything. Okay. No.
What was that for?
It was for devotion to the Blessed Mother.
Okay.
There again, some of the non-Catholics don't recognize Mary as, you know, the Virgin Mother of Christ, mm-hmm. but they don't honor her like we do. We don't worship her. We honor her because she's a temple through which our Savior came. Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't she be a pure, mm-hmm. you know, why wouldn't she be pure when she was married before and after to St. Joseph, who mm-hmm. was foster father to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And anyway, a lot of people have devotion to her. And my grandson brought me back a rosary. First time he went, made of olive wood, a rosary. And then this time he brought me back a purple rosary from the Holy Land. Brought me a bunch of little memorabilia from there and an olive branch.
And some chocolate that has pop rocks in it. Yeah. And mom gives me this chocolate and she's like, here, try this chocolate. And I'm like, it's from Israel. I'm like, okay. I started eating it. Also, my mouth's going, pop, 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 pop. I'm like, what is this? And it had pop rocks.
Surprise.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's such a shock.
Well, you know, Jesus is full of surprises every day.
That's true.
Anyway, there's so many stories I could tell you. I haven't, every day there's miracles happening. But I went to a prayer meeting. This young man said that he was on the bus, and this man told him, get up. He wanted his seat, and he had a knife. Mm-hmm. And the young guy didn't get up, and he said, get up or I'll stab you. And he said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name to drop that knife. And the guy did.
Wow.
And I didn't see it. Somebody saw an arm grow.
Really?
Somebody had a, uh-huh. Somebody talked about, there's a story that this young, okay, in Foster, how I think it was. Anyway, there was a sheriff there, and he used to drive around town, and he'd pick up the town drunk and take him home. And while he was had him in the police car, he would talk to him about Jesus, about giving his life to Jesus. And the guy, he just, you know, kept getting drunk, and he kept bringing him home and talked to him about Jesus. And finally, he finally surrendered his life to Jesus. And he talked at one of our conferences in Toledo. And he actually talked about how close he came to death. He said, one time I got shot through my screen door. He shot me right in the ass. And we're like, oh, my gosh.
You just said that in church.
No, it was at a prayer meeting. Okay. Probably at a church, yeah. But it's like, oh, my gosh. But anyway, just story after story, my prayer partner was a miracle herself. She was, when I met her, she was suicidal. Mm-hmm. She was going to check out. And my husband brought her home from the bar. Well, no, he knew her from the bar where she worked. And she was a couple doors down at the ex-wife of the man that she was married to and got divorced from. And so she went to a party down there, a glass party. And then he said, well, come down, meet my wife afterwards. And I took her to a healing mass. And she, first time she went up to get prayed over, she rested in the spirit. And the rest is history. That woman changed her life. She had a blue old car that she drove in. And she called her Mary Mobile after the Blessed Mother. And we would drive around town and pick up street people and take them to prayer meetings with us.
Oh, my God, Mother.
She was so...
You can't do that these days, right?
I know. Oh, my gosh, I know. But she just did a complete change in her life. And she worked at the bar. And actually, the owner of the bar was Catholic. And he fired her because she was witnessing to people about what God did in her life and what he could do for them.
Oh, my God.
And... So she lost her job, and she said, now what am I going to do? I'm out of work. And I said, pray. I said, God will drop a job in your lap. And the next day, my boss said, do you know anybody's looking for a job? I need someone to work here. And so I told Carol, and she started working there. And she said, why don't you come to work? They need someone to dust in here. And I said, I don't want to work. I like being home. And she said, oh, just come one day a week. We'll have fun. So I did. She ended up getting a brain tumor. I ended up taking her place and working full-time at Churchill's. And that's where I met so many people that had so many stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And
it's interesting because, like, when you work there, people would come in, you know, and there's people that had great devotion, people who didn't know much about any religion. People would just come in to shoplift, you know, like, but people would come and want to tell you their stories.
Always.
And it's funny because, like, when Joe and I go to conventions, that's how it is. You know, people, they feel comfortable coming up and sharing their story of, like, we hear this many times. I've never told anybody, but I saw a Bigfoot one time, or I saw a UFO, or I saw a ghost in my house. You know, it's nice to be in an environment where people are accepted and not judged.
Exactly.
You know? And that's how it was at Churchill's, you know. You guys always were very, very kind to all your customers, except for a couple crazies that would come in.
Well, yeah, but you know what? We still were kind to them.
Yeah.
And because there, but for the grace of God, go we, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because there was always time to talk to them. We weren't that busy at that time. It was like God planted them right there, you know. Mm-hmm. Like they said, our steps are directed.
Yeah.
You know? So your steps are directed too, and what we're doing. And so anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And
so you actually had people come in the store and shoplift?
Oh yeah. Oh, they really? Did. One guy stole the Bible, and my boss ran down the street and got the Bible back from him.
Well, don't you think you're, like, extra going to
H-E-double-L
if you steal from a...
A Bible from
a bookstore.
Bookstore.
Yeah, well...
Or something from the church, you know?
Yeah, like, hello. Well, you know
Light a church on fire or...
We're all sinners and we're saints in the making. How's that?
Yeah.
So there's hope for everybody. But yeah, I just couldn't tell you. I could write a book about the people who came in there. One was, she was a sheriff's deputy, and she believed in, she loved Mary, but she also was into the psychic stuff. Mm-hmm. And she would say, you really think that she'd get up my face and you really think that's real? I said, honey, I know it's real. Yeah. But anyway, just story after story. So that's what I'm saying. And you'll see the pictures online, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Send you a picture of St. Maria Goretti Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, very pretty. I don't think we saw that when we were there. We went to the one that was in the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it, but it was really...
And I just saw a picture of that yesterday.
Did you?
It was on... Somebody posted on Facebook, and I'm like...
Oh.
And we last week on... Or when we got interviewed by Steve... I was going to say last week, but that was... it's actually going to be after the show's out. All Steve's right. show. That we actually talk about Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh.
On
my
the
gosh.
Show.
Oh, yeah. Really?
See?
I remember going in that chapel. It was up on a hill and you had to walk way. I mean, it was very, very steep to get up there. And Joe was outside taking pictures or something. And I went in that chapel and it was very, I got like a little dizzy. It was very powerful, very spiritual. And it was near a vortex. And I don't know if people know that, you know, in Sedona. That was in Sedona, wasn't
it? Sedona. Did I say Scottsdale?
Yeah.
I meant Sedona.
Well, anyways, yeah, Sedona.
Okay. There's, you know, energy fields. And, but it was so interesting because it was built right into the mountain.
Yeah.
You know?
Was it the Holy Spirit?
Can't remember. Church? I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah. Yeah. Now, my friend Carol that I told you about, my prayer partner, she went to Sedona, too.
That's
she
right.
She loved it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. You know, it's just interesting that we just wanted you to come on the show and just tell some of the, you know, interesting stories that you had and the miracles that have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all need a little message of hope and healing right now.
Especially, yes, don't ever give up because God's got his big hand in it all, good, bad, or indifferent. He's there. Yeah. And we have miracles, right? Our little miracle baby, Jackson, he's a miracle.
Yeah.
He had 26 surgeries before he was 2 years old, and they didn't think he'd make it with a problem with his pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anyway.
You know, people talk about the power of prayer all the time.
Oh, yeah. And in all religions.
Every religion.
You know, prayer is so powerful.
It is. It is.
You know, and you
it's know, been it's been proven in science that so many people think of one thing as a prayer and it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like Father Kerber, I was telling you about, he said, don't tell people you'll pray for them. He said, take their hand and pray with them. They need it right then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what people need right now. And look what's the beautiful stuff that's coming out of people are bonding together and helping first responders and nurses and praying extra for them. And
tell everybody what was happening out at Toledo Hospital or ProMedica Hospital the other day, that what was going to happen. That people were pulling up.
Oh, yeah. They were driving to Toledo Hospital where a lot of the coronavirus people were being taken, I guess. And anyway, they were driving and honking their horns and blinking their lights and encouraging the workers there because it's kind of scary, you know, what was going on. And last night they had a prayer vigil.
Mm-hmm.
People were coming and just sitting in the parking lot and praying. And then out at All Saints in Rossford, the pastor out there, I forget his name, Father Ron something, he was blessing police cars. And there were, like, when I saw it, there was like 24 police cars pulling in there and fire engines, too. I didn't see them, but he was sprinkling them with holy water for safety. Yeah.
Do you remember when you used to squirt us with holy water? Yes. You had a squirt bottle and she would squirt us.
I did.
She was this maybe like 20 feet away and we'd hear squirt, squirt.
I mean, she was treating us like cats.
No, one time my twin grandsons came and they were making fun of me because I was praying, I was talking about the rosary and they just were carrying on something fierce. And so I sprinkled them right in the face and they shut up. They never said anything about afterwards.
I remember when we were in high school, we would leave the house and you'd spray us.
I did?
Yeah.
Yes.
You got good memories. I don't remember that. I know I have a holy water fountain by the front door, front and back door.
Yeah.
Squirt bottle. What? She had a squirt bottle.
I know. I'm much better now.
Look how we ended up, Joe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
international host of podcasting.
And I taught you everything you know. Uh-huh. Anyway,
I taught you a few things, Lou, how to make sangria and smoke doobies. No, I'm kidding.
Don't get me in trouble. Sorry, Lord.
I'm just kidding. I was just kidding. My mother does not smoke doobies.
No. And how would you teach her?
I learned it from you.
Oh, yeah, right.
I learned it by watching you.
I've never even smoked cigarettes.
Oh, stop.
No, I haven't.
Not in high school. You weren't trying to be cool. Cool Joe.
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to get you a big fat doobie and you're gonna smoke. Just kidding, I'm not encouraging anybody to take drugs.
Yeah, right. Well, after knowing you. No. Just kidding.
My own mother. But no,
sorry.
But
anyway, folks, that's my story, and someday if I ever have time I'll write a book. I don't have time though. Too busy. Life gets too busy.
It does, it does. And you know, it's always fun to just, you know, come on and entertain our listeners all around the world. We appreciate now, everybody listening.
Yes.
If you're listening and you're in the Toledo area, you can actually meet Mother at the Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference. Yes. She will be there. We're going to duct tape her to a table. And
yeah, she'll be chasing Ken Gerhardt around the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
She likes his hat. But
no, anyway, we haven't even got into the angels. We've all had angel experiences, yeah. And that's a whole nother story. And
we'll save that for another show.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
But Joseph, final.
Just like I said, though, we did announce that the Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference is on October 10th.
October. And we are so excited about that.
Yeah.
This is our second year. So, you know, guys, put it on your calendar. It is penciled in for now, pending any, you know, strange things.
Yeah. Like I said, if something happens, we'll just put it in the parking lot and we'll put one person way over there, the other person way over there.
It'd be, yes. But anyways, no, it's going to be a great time. You guys have to come out. It was a huge success last year. It was like the best and worst days of our lives, we said, because that was the day, you know, Dad passed away. But he wanted us to go on with the show.
Yep.
It's the biggest fan of Bigfoot ever.
He
believed
did.
In that. Yeah,
he
so
did.
Now he knows.
He even wrote the book.
Yep.
Yes, he did. Oh,
yeah.
My
dad
That's
did
right.
write a Bigfoot book.
Yeah, became an author, yeah. A published author. And now he's up there seeing if it's true.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for him to come tell me my dream.
Yep, he will.
Anyways, everybody, thanks for listening this week. We'll definitely catch up with you next week. And don't forget to get on our Facebook page. We're going to post some of those photos. Share the show with all your friends. It's free to listen. There's 190-something episodes. So if you guys are quarantined in, looking for something to do, or somebody's bored, just tell them, hey, check out the 222 Paranormal Podcast. It's clean content, so you can, you know, family friendly.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Ma, for coming on.
Thanks, Lou.
My pleasure.
We love you.
God bless you all, and I love all of you.
All right.
All right. So let's leave a little bit of crud for Mom. Goodbye, everyone.